thank you for having me here this morning. My brother could have continued with the message that he had, because it's the truth that he is speaking. Are we still going to worship? We're going to continue. I can open with prayer. Okay. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can bring this offering before you this morning, Lord God, and that we can ask you, Lord Jesus, that every seed that has been sown this morning, Lord God, that you will multiply those seeds back, Lord God, into your kingdom, Lord God. May there be a mighty harvest that comes in, Lord, from this seeds, Lord God, that has been sown, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak a blessing over this congregation, Lord God, and I ask, Lord Jesus, that you will open our ears this morning, Lord, to hear your voice, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Be seated. I'm not too sure where I am going to start with the message, because the Lord has been speaking to me this morning and he's sort of been changing what I wanted to say, which is a good thing. It makes you scared, but it's a good thing, because at the end of the day, it is God that is in control. And this morning, the worship was really, really powerful. The worship and the presence of Jesus was in this place this morning. Now, there might be some of us that is sitting here that didn't experience the presence of God this morning. Now, the good news this morning is that Jesus wants you to dine with him. He wants you to experience him. And there could be one of two reasons, or maybe more than two, that you haven't experienced the presence of the Lord. The first reason could be that you haven't met Jesus. You haven't surrendered your life to Jesus. This morning I've got good news. You can surrender your life to Jesus, because your whole life, everything will change once you meet Jesus. And the other reason could possibly be that your heart is hardened. There's somebody that you haven't forgiven. When we haven't forgiven our brothers, then there's hardness in our heart and we can't experience the Lord's presence. I can quickly tell you, share a testimony on this, which happened to me this week. Now, I work in a factory that manufactures all sorts of fiberglass. And I'm second in charge over two factories. And I've got a superior who's a director of the business. And this whole week, I'm very busy. So last weekend, I prepared a bit for this Sunday. And every morning, I get up early to prepare for the sermon. And in the evenings, I prepare the late so that I can know what God is wanting to say to you this morning. And while I was preparing, we had home group on Wednesday evening. And Pastor Heinrich brought a word on Sunday about forgiveness. And isn't it interesting that the Lord always comes and tests us on the things that we have to bring, the words that we have to bring. And Wednesday evening, we were having home group about forgiveness, the importance of forgiveness. So, guess what happened on Wednesday, before I had to bring the word? My boss had a major fallout with me. He's not a believer, and he used words that I've heard in my old life. I've heard those words. He really used horrible words, and he accused me falsely for something that I didn't do. And in my heart, I was very upset with him. Because how could he falsely accuse me? Because I haven't done what he said that I have done. I didn't do that. And I was upset. And that evening, I had to bring the word of forgiveness in the home group. But it was difficult for me to bring that word. And even the presence of the Lord wasn't flowing in that meeting. I was talking a bit here and I was talking a bit there. But nothing really happened. Because I didn't even recognize at that time that there was unforgiveness in my heart. Because normally, when we don't want to forgive, we don't want to forgive because we are right. The other person is the wrong one. We are right. So why must we forgive? We didn't do anything wrong. That person, he summed everything up. We don't have to forgive. And that's what is going on in our minds. We don't want to forgive. So the Thursday morning, even that cell group, it wasn't a good cell group. It wasn't, the presence of God wasn't there, or at least I didn't experience it. So the Thursday morning, I get up at 5 o'clock again, and the only thing that I can think of is what has happened the previous day. Now I need to prepare. My days are becoming less before Sunday is coming. And God is not speaking to me. And I don't know what is going on. And the only thing that is going in on my mind is how unfair my boss treated me the previous day. It was really unfair. My heart was broken. And I really felt that he did wrong to me. So my boss, his general way of ruling in the office is he creates fear. So he would tell you that he will take you to HR, he will fire you if you don't do this. If you come and you tell him this and the following, then he will threaten you. So he's not a very open person to receive correction. Very, very difficult to bring a word when he has spoken, even if it is wrong, that is how it shall be. So I've been working there for 12 years that I've been working at that company. So I know my boss very, very well. I know him the second best. I probably, after my wife, I know him very well because we spend most of our time that we spend at work, or I spend most of the time at work from 8 o'clock until 5 o'clock every day. How much time do we spend with our families? I only get back in the evening 6, 7 o'clock, and then it's time for bed. So with the children, you maybe have 1 hour, and then you go to bed at maybe 10 o'clock, so you've got the hour that you spend with your wife, and then there's other people that you also need to see and pray for. So you spend all the day I spent with my boss. So I know him very well. But I had to put the courage together on that day, even though I knew he was going to say I'm wrong and the word that I'm going to bring to him is wrong. So I put all my courage together, even knowing what the outcome was going to be, and I told him he treated me incorrectly, but I forgive him. And we went through the whole thing, and at the end, he told me, if I treated you incorrectly, you can go to the human resources, and you can lay a charge against me. So I said, I don't want to lay a charge against you. I'm telling you how you made my heart feel, and I forgive you. I don't want to press charges against you. I'm here to forgive. So when I went home, I was still upset because he didn't even apologize for what he has done. And that's the thing we struggle with. We say we forgive, but we still struggle with that place where we say we are right. Even though I said, I forgive you. Now, I came home and I told my wife, I'm still frustrated because I brought him this word and I've forgiven him, but his response is nothing. Sorry. No sorry, nothing. So we were sitting and we were talking. Within the next 10 minutes, he sent the SMS. He never apologizes. He sent me a SMS to say, I apologize for my behavior. Now, praise God for that. Now, God is standing and waiting for us to say sorry. Once we come and we ask Him for forgiveness, He's perfect in forgiving. He doesn't take time like we do and we want something. He forgives. So if there's anybody here this morning that hasn't forgiven somebody, or you haven't met with Jesus who forgives perfectly, then I want you to come afterwards, and I want you to come forward so that we can pray to God. Okay, so now my message can begin. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Father, Jesus Christ. I don't come here this morning out of my own authority. I come here because I'm sent by Jesus who has got all authority. So, this morning, my message is about seeds, faith, and fruit. We're not going to get through this whole message because there's about 25 or 30 slides, and I'm pretty sure we're going to run out of time before we get through all of this. Now, I've brought some watermelon. Who likes watermelon? Huh? Watermelon is a good fruit. Huh? When you eat that watermelon, it's so sweet. I hope those ones are very sweet. Huh? You get the water, you get the taste, you get everything. Now, that is how good Jesus is. He's better than watermelon. Once He comes and He takes our lives over, then He's better than watermelon. And we also become better than watermelon, our lives. So, this morning, I want to read the first scripture in Isaiah 30, verse 23. Then He will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, and bread of the increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will feed in large pastures. Now, if we look at the definition of a seed, these days we've got Google. We can Google everything. Huh? Isn't that wonderful? So, the dictionary says a unit, a seed, the unit of reproduction of a flowering plant capable of developing into another such plant. So a seed is something that is capable of developing into a plant. If we had to look at a microchip in your cell phone, that thing is programmed. It can only do a certain amount of things. What it has been programmed. A seed that God created is much more powerful because that seed is so small. If we look at a mustard seed, that seed is the smallest seed of all the herbs. Yet, once that seed is in the ground and it comes up, it becomes a tree. Now that seed is so small, and yet it knows what to do. Now, If we look, the next slide. Yeah, that one, the white one, that one. If we look at what a seed contains, if we chemist here, then those are the things that is in a pumpkin seed. It's got 3.7 grams of saturated fat, polyunsaturated fat, monosaturated fat, sodium, potassium, carbohydrates, all these things, protein. That is what is in a seed. But if we had to take that, all those ingredients, potassium and fat and polyunsaturated fat, if we had to take all those ingredients to a chemist, do you think he can make a seed? No. It's impossible for a chemist to make a seed. Even if he takes all those ingredients and he puts them together, there will not be a seed that comes out. Not at all. It's impossible. Because a seed is something that God created and not man. So nobody can make a seed. Yes, man has become clever. They can modify a seed. These people become clever and they put certain things into a seed so that that seed doesn't get sick when there's pests that come over that seed. But it cannot make a seed. Now, this morning I want to talk about the seed. Now, if we read, we're going to read quite a bit of scripture. And the reason why I like to read a lot of scripture is because we need to immerse ourselves in God's word. When we immerse ourselves in God's word, we are changed. Amen? So, Matthew 13. I'm pretty sure most of you have heard this piece of scripture. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if we look at the fruit, isn't it interesting that in the fruit there's the seed of the next generation, like the watermelon? It's got the seed in there for the new generation. Isn't God amazing that he would put a seed for the next generation? Now, I've Googled something about the seeds. The seed that you would find in that watermelon, because I had a plan, I wanted you to keep the seeds in the watermelon. But the people have now modified that seed that is in the watermelon, that if you plant that seed, it won't come up. Did you know that? Huh? They've modified the seed so that you can't plant that. They could possibly, maybe one or two of the seeds that come up, but they've modified that seed so that watermelon, that you must go to the shop so that you can buy that watermelon. You can buy the right seed, but it's going to cost you some money to buy that right seed. So, God is amazing in that he has put seeds in us that isn't corrupt, that can be planted for the next generation, for more people to know His word. Have you ever wondered why Jesus spoke so many times in parables? Have you wondered? You know what the answer is. Let's continue with the scripture. Matthew 13. And the disciples came and said to Him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Yo. He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their ears and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear.'" And He's referring here to us. Our ears have heard what others haven't heard. We can be blessed to have heard the word of Jesus Christ. And as believers, our fruits and our seeds will be multiplied. As He says here, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance." I've got family members that are really wealthy. They've got a lot of money. I've got friends. My big boss at work, he's very wealthy. He's got lots of money. But the sad reality is that his eyes is closed. And he's really unhappy. Because his eyes hasn't been opened up. He hasn't tasted Jesus. We can have all the money in the world. We can have all the things. But if we don't have Jesus, we will never, ever, ever be satisfied. Never, ever. We can be the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich. But if we haven't received Jesus, we will be empty. And this morning, the good news is that Jesus wants to fill us up. He wants to open the eyes of every blind person. And He wants each one of us to be the messenger of that good news. So many times, we know what the good news is, and we know what the answer is, but we are too scared. Because we see man and we are hesitant to go and to speak and to bring the truth. Now I want to share a testimony of what happened Friday morning in my wife's life. Now, the past couple of years, the Lord has moved mightily through me in a number of things. But my wife has always been busy with the children, and she's never had opportunities like opportunities that I had to minister and to bring the gospel to people. But you know, our God is a good God. And do you know, He wants to use All of us. He wants to use you, sister. He wants to use you, brother. He wants to use all of us. He doesn't have only Brighton that he wants to use, or Eugene. He wants to use all of us. He wants to use us. What qualifies us to be used? What qualifies us? Our faith? Say again?
Just to accept him as a personal savior and you qualify.
And just to obey his word.
Amen. We cannot be qualified except through Christ. It's not any goodness that we can do to be qualified. That's why I said this morning, I don't come by myself. I come by Jesus Christ, who's got all authority. He's the one that qualifies. And he's the one that also chooses and uses us. So we, as believers, need to be available. We need to be, like our brother said, we need to be obedient to what Christ is saying. And he's speaking all the time. You know, there's a lot of voices that is in the air now. A lot of voices. You know that? If I've got a radio tuner now, I can go to 5 FM, I can go to KFM, I can go... You hear? You understand what I'm saying? So the same way, our ears need to be tuned in to what Jesus is saying. Because he's always speaking. And he's always doing something. He's never quiet. He's always busy. And so the story goes as follows. So at 4 o'clock the morning, my wife gets woken by God. But she never gets woken by God. And she just says, Lord, I want to sleep. Because she's tired. I've got little children, you that have little children, sometimes they don't sleep very nice in the evening. So if there's an evening that they are sleeping nice, you want to just take that sleep, and you want to take in as much as possible. So God woke her, and he started speaking to her about a colleague of hers. And this colleague of hers, he's not a follower of Christ. About 3-4 years ago, his father passed on, and he's very upset with God for taking his father. His wife goes to church, but he doesn't want to know anything about church. And my wife works together with him every second or third day. They work together, and she always, in her prayers, keep him before God, and she prays for him. But never out loud. She would never say, listen, Anton, I want to pray for you, or anything like that. So that morning, she wakes up and God presses Anton on her heart. So she prays, and then she feels that God says that she must go to his house and pray. Now, he was taken up in hospital 3 days ago. With a pain in his back that he can't move at all. He was paralyzed from the pain that was in his back. And at first his arm became lame. He can't move like that. He can move it sometimes, but most of the time his arm is hanging and it is very, very sore. And the doctors at first didn't know what was wrong with him. So they sent him to the scan machine. So they put him in this big machine and they do a body scan. And they see, oh, big problems here. In his back, where his vertebra, his backbone, there's one of the vertebras that is, the cushioning between the two is gone. So it is bone on bone. There's nothing in between there. And what happens is when it's like that, it pinches the nerves together. And they said, well, they're going to have to do an operation. But this operation is very dangerous because you can... possibility of going lame, so you won't be able to walk again in your life. There's also a possibility that you can die if they do something incorrect. So it's a great risk. And there's also a young man with a young family. And the other thing was that he already booked his holiday for December with his family. And they were going to go away. Now, he didn't want to go for that operation because then he's not going to have paid time off at work. Then he's going to have to go for that operation on his own time if it's in December holiday. See how people think. So he's in a terrible state of pain. They tell him, okay, he must come back next Wednesday for the operation if he wants to, but they will give him painkillers until when he comes back. If the painkillers is working, maybe he can have the painkillers through December and then January he can come back. But he must see how that painkillers is working. So he is full of pain. Even those painkillers, morphine, that's the strongest painkiller that you get, didn't work. He still has pain. So he's in his house and my wife, she phones me and she says, I want to go and pray for Anton. And my immediate reaction is, go, you must go and pray for him. Because God is good and he can heal the person. I didn't know what happened 4 o'clock in the morning. She didn't tell me about that. But I said, go. We can't wait. We must always be ready to go. To go and bring the good news of the gospel. To pray for the sick. You know, we can pray for somebody that is sick, even if they don't know Jesus. There's no prerequisite. Jesus didn't come and tell people, do you know me? Okay, do you accept me? Now I will pray for you. Uh-uh. Jesus prayed for everybody, and everybody was healed. Not some were healed. All of the people were healed. Not one, not two. Everybody was healed by Jesus. He didn't have any prerequisites. So many times in church, we first want to know if that person is a brother before we go pray for him. Do you know if there's somebody walking there in the street and he's injured, we can pray for that person? Because Jesus, his heart is for this whole world to be healed. He doesn't want sickness. He doesn't want that. He wants us to step out in faith and trust him for healing. But many times, our mind comes in the way. Now, Talita could have decided, I haven't prayed for somebody that doesn't know Jesus. I've only prayed for people that is in church. So, bring that man to the church, then I will pray for him. That's not going to happen. Isn't God always testing our faith? And for good reason. So, she phoned me, and then after I put the phone down, she said, she told God that, if Eugene says that he will come with me to pray, then I will go. But I said, you go and pray. So she put the phone down and she said, God, but that was not my plan. I wanted my husband to come with me to pray for this man. So the evening she tells me that all these stories. And she said that she had to be obedient and it's a blessing that I didn't go with. That she could take that courage herself to go. So, God wants us to go. He doesn't want us to stay. In Matthew 28, verse 19, what's written in Matthew 28? Who's going to read for us? 28, verse 19.
Matthew 28, verse 19, it reads this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Just read the verse before that.
Verse 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given complete authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All authority has been given to Jesus, and he sends us out to go and do just that. Not a little bit, not here, not there. You know, I'm so tired of church. Having church just in a church building. Church needs to happen on the street. That's my conviction. You can pray about that. But we need to bring the good news to the world, because the world doesn't have a favorable view of the church. They don't have a favorable view of God because they think he's missing. We need to go to all the nations. We need to bring the gospel. We need to bring the seeds of Christ to everyone. Now, what disqualifies us? Our mind. We think, oh, that Cici, that sister, she did Bible school 3. She can go. She's qualified. She's equipped. She knows the Bible. She knows all the messages, all of that. It's Christ that qualifies us. Not Bible school. Not the pastor. Nobody but Christ. And he wants to use every single one of you to bring the gospel. If you have received the gospel, then we must bring the gospel. Because that's the only good news unto salvation. I mean, the gospel is such good news that if you had to take your life, I'm going to get back to my wife's story now. If you had to take your life and, you know, itemized billing, we don't get itemized billing anymore, but in the past when you had a cell phone, you get the bill and they would draw all the lines of every call that you made. Everything, it is written up there. Correct? Now, when we sin, it's like Satan, he keeps a book, itemized billing of our sin. You know that? Every little thing that we do wrong, he brings that itemized billing. One by one by one by one by one. Just brings them, adds them on, adds them on, adds them on. And then he goes to God and he says, here's the itemized billing for all the sin. Now how can we, if we did all that thing, how can we get out of that thing? We can't. Not by ourselves. We can't go and change the sin that we did. Just like the calls, we can't take those calls away that we have made. It's there, we've done that. It stands in history. That is the sins that we have done. Yeah? The only way to get that itemized billing away is to come to Christ. Because he can take every item of sin, he can take it away. When we come to him, when we ask Christ, forgive me. Every day, even now when we are saved, he can come. He takes the itemized billing away. He takes every sin away. Now from the world, that's impossible. The world looks at that and they say, but this man, he was a murderer. He needs to be in prison because he's done wrong. That one is doing that. But when that man that is a murderer comes to Christ, he's forgiven. The world can't understand that. But up in heaven, God understands that. And God knows how to forgive. Amen?
Amen.
So, to get back to Talita, my wife, that story. So, she's driving in a car and she's now looking for her colleague's house. She's never been there to his house. And she comes there and she knocks. I don't know who opened the door, but she goes into his room and he's sitting there in his room. And he is in pain. He's sitting there and he's telling her that he has got another hour before he can drink his another pill to make the pain just a little bit less. And he's telling her that their boss phoned him today to tell him that her husband, he died from that operation 5 years ago. Huh? Imagine you sitting there and everybody is bringing that bad news to you. You're going to die. You've got a family. You're never going to walk. All these bad things that is coming. And medically, that is a possibility. If that surgeon is making a mistake, he can be paralyzed. He still has his whole life before him. And here, my wife, she's scared. She doesn't know how to start to talk to him about the good news because he's talking about all these bad things that is going to happen to him. And he's telling her, Murphy's Law, it's going to happen to me. He's telling her, it's going to happen to me. Yo, now she doesn't know. Yo, God tells me I must come. But before she walks into the door, before she gets out of the car, she asks God, God, I want to go, but I can't go. The only thing that she hears, that God tells her, you have nothing to lose. Nothing. What do you have to lose? Nothing. Why are you scared? Why are we scared? Why are we scared to bring the good news of the gospel? Why are we scared to pray for the sick? What's stopping us? Because it's the only good news unto salvation. The only good news to healing is Jesus Christ. So, she's there next to him and he's telling her all this story about how bad his life is and how he's, by Murphy's Law, is going to get that. And she says, Anton, I didn't come to you today to talk about business or anything. I came because God woke me at 4 o'clock this morning to come and pray for you. Now, we must just remember, in this culture, there's no reference for people being healed. I come from, my background is a very traditional church. So we would never lay hands on somebody to be healed. We would just pray and hope. Very rarely, I can't remember in my whole, from being 7 years old until I left that church at 23. I haven't seen one person that came to Jesus, and I've never seen one person being healed. Not once. Never. As a matter of fact, when the pastor asked me before they gave me permission to become a member, he asked me if I had to die now, would I go to heaven or go to hell? So I told him, I'm going to heaven. And the reason why I told him I'm going to heaven is because I wanted to be accepted and all my friends are with me. So if I say no, then they must not going to accept me in the church. So I told a lie to the pastor, or the dominie, as they call him. And my face went blood red because I was telling a lie, not in front of him, but in front of God, because God knew that I didn't know Jesus at that time. Now, that is the reference that Anton has. Is he hasn't seen somebody that has been healed. He doesn't have faith for healing either. I heard another testimony of Reinhard Bonke. Have you guys heard of Reinhard Bonke? Yes? When he was still much younger, he went to Australia for outreach. And there was a lady in the back of the church that was in a wheelchair. And God told him that lady is going to be healed today. And the video cameras, the TV crew, all these people, they were here. They were there, ready to film this thing. So he brought his message, and at the end, he was visiting that church. At the end, he said, okay, I'm going to pray now for that lady. And then the pastor came to him and he said, you are on your own. So he goes and he thinks and he says, okay, I'm going to go, but I don't have faith, God. And as he's walking, God says, because that person that was sick in the wheelchair, that person didn't have faith either, because that person had a sickness in the bones that if she had to get up, her bones would start to collapse or crumble. A very serious disease. So that person didn't have, was like 20 years in the wheelchair, didn't have any belief or faith. And then God told him that he's got the faith. So he went to that lady, and when he got there to the lady, then that pastor was next to him. He said, now I'm going to join you to pray. Because the video camera was rolling. So that lady got up, and today she's walking. I don't know if she's still alive, but it's many years ago. But there was faith that Reinhard Bonke had. So Talita went, and she went, and she told him, listen, Anton, I came on other business here today. I came to pray for you. God woke me at 4 o'clock. This might be strange to you. And I want to pray for you. But first, I'm going to pray in tongues. It's going to sound strange to you. His wife can also pray in tongues. So she said, like your wife can pray in tongues, I'm going to pray in tongues. I don't know if he's ever heard tongues, to be honest with you. So she started to pray in tongues for him. And then she said, where's the pain? Where's the place that is wrong? So she said, here at the back. So she put her hand there and she started praying. And she asked him, is it feeling better? He said, yes, a little bit better. She said, okay, let me pray again. Because normally we stop there. Nothing is happening. Okay? He didn't get healed. We've been obedient, so he's not healed. No. He said, pray again. So she puts her hand on his back and she prays. And she prays and she prays and she prays. He said, how's it feeling now? Yo, it's feeling a bit better. You can move a little bit. She said, okay, we're going to pray again. She lays hands on him. And she prays again. And she prays and she prays. And then all of a sudden says, oh, I don't have any pain. No pain. The pain is gone. What about your arm? No, we're going to pray. She prays, and as she is praying, she can feel how that muscle or that bone is moving in his back and is healed until he found her or he SMS'd her in the evening, said, no pain, nothing, gone. The pain is gone in the name of Jesus. Do you know sometimes when we evict Satan, he still thinks that he's got a place to stay. He doesn't want to hear that he needs to go out. Nothing. He stays. But then we must stand in faith and we must evict him because he doesn't have a right in that body. Nowhere does he have a right. He doesn't have a right in the body. Now, this morning, we didn't get to the message. But we had a much better message that we heard. Because it's a testimony of God's goodness. Now, the message that I want to share is that we are all planters of seed. What are the seeds that we are planting? We all can bring the seeds of good news in people's lives. We must stop hindering ourselves to bring the good news of Jesus to this world. And we're going to pray now, and I'm going to ask any one of you that if there's somebody that you haven't forgiven, then I want you to come and stand here. It's going to be a step of faith, and I'm going to pray with you that we can release that person and really forgive that person. Because once we forgive that person, Scripture says that the Father will forgive us those that we forgive. That's what Scripture says. Forgive so that you can be forgiven. So I want you to come and stand here. Then on this side, if there's any of you that hasn't accepted Christ, you still are walking in itemized billing. Old news. You're still walking with itemized billing. I want you to come and stand here on this side. And here, in the middle, I want anybody that has got a disease or a sickness, if you need a job, if you need anything, and I want you to come and stand here. And I'm going to pray with the elders and the cell leaders for you. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's close the service. And remember the watermelon that I brought for you guys this morning is for us to take that watermelon and to know that we can also be bearing fruit, and that in our fruit there can be seeds that we can plant in other people's lives. That we don't just leave and don't go and plant what has been planted in our lives. Do you know if this whole world can be saved in 35 days? The whole world. There's 6 billion people in this world if we do the following. If every one of us for 35 days goes to somebody that doesn't know the gospel and we bring him to Christ, and that person does the same the next day and the next day and the next day. If it continues like that, within 35 days, the world can be saved. That's a strong message for us to bring the gospel. Don't be scared to bring the gospel. You've got nothing to lose. Only Christ to gain. Amen? Okay. Amen. I'm going to pray for us. And then if you can come forward, we're going to continue in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the seed of life, Lord God. Jesus, where your seed has fallen, Lord, there is life. Your kingdom is there. And this morning I ask Jesus that this word, Lord God, will be germinated, that your word of life, Lord God, will come alive, Lord God, and Jesus, that you will come and lift every veil, Lord God. Every veil, Lord God, that is keeping us from going out to bring your message, Lord. Your message of good news. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here and that you are saving people today. Thank you that you are healing people today. Thank you, Jesus, that we come to you as our Father this morning. Thank you, Jesus, that every good gift comes from the Father. And this morning, Lord, we accept those good gifts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.